Welcome to the Reseller Entrepreneur, the podcast for reseller hobbyists eager to turn reselling into a successful business. Learn from Mike and other reseller entrepreneurs as they share their experiences and tips on running an online business. Here's your host, Old Fashioned Mike.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining. So this is our 44th episode, and we're going to go through a subject which I didn't cover last year because last year was my first year of podcasting and reselling. So I didn't really have enough experience to kind of comment about this. I always heard about something in eBay called the summer slowdown, which is the time period starting probably in May where your sales start to go down. And I think this year is going to be quite different in some respects. I think definitely you see in the industry a slowdown of online sales, largely because people are outside, they're doing things, they're not sitting at home online shopping. Now, this year, of course, it was quite different in the sense that I think there are going to be even more people outside because they've been cooped up in their homes for such a long time. So I definitely have seen a summer slowdown, and you know, we're going to go through what that looks like and some of the things you can do to kind of counteract some of this. Now, it's still going to be less than the month before, probably for you. I don't know about you, but certainly in certain market segments, it's going to even be lower. I definitely think that this is where clothing really, really jumps out as being a very cyclical type of sale. Which is why another reason why I keep on saying, you know, get out of clothing. So, also, hey, I want to make a few corrections before I forget. I want to make a few corrections to last week's episode. I talked about $3,300 in income that the clothing kicks off. What I meant to say was $3,300 of profit that it kicks off each month. So, That's a big difference. So I just want to be very, very clear is that, you know, and I've actually had some further discoveries around that, which we'll talk about right now, is that I'm not going to resell my clothing, to a reseller. I just think it's, very apparent to me that I put in all this work to get it up to, you know, 3,000 items. And it makes no sense to actually throw away all that work for a $25,000 payoff. And if you think about it, it takes about 7.5 months to recoup that $25,000 and I'll still have inventory left. So it actually does make no sense. I'm going to have to move anyway. So I've just decided to pull it off the market unless somebody comes in with a sweetheart deal and local where I don't have to worry about shipping or doing any work really. So anyway, and I also want to make very, very clear, and I haven't heard from any of them, but you know, I know some of them are listeners, is I didn't mean to, if I came across this way, but I did not mean to disparage the fact that they weren't purchasing. So I, you know, they didn't purchase from me because it's logistically very difficult and that they had different business needs at the time. And they kind of just realized that once I gave them the price tag. So that I didn't, if they took it that way, if you took it that way, if you were one of the people I talked about, you know, sorry, I didn't mean to talk that way. Okay, let's get back to the summer slowdown. So the summer slowdown is a time period. It's going basically from, let's call it mid-May all the way up to, let's call it August, late August, September timeframe. And then it starts to swing back in. And this is very, very true in overall sales. But specifically in the clothing space, it's particularly felt. And there's two things for that reason for that. One is just the regular summer slowdown. But number two is that clothing has a tendency to be very, very weather driven. So, you know, if you're selling summer clothes, you're most likely selling summer clothes earlier in the year because in preparation for summer. And if you're selling winter clothes, you're going to sell that you know, let's call it, you know, the summer, late summer, in preparation for the winter. So, and of course, that's not true if you're in California, which is basically good weather all the time. I know I'm from California, so I could say that. But the reality is that the cyclical nature of clothing in general and the cyclical nature of online sales, it's hard felt in the clothing markets. So no matter what you do, you're going to feel it at some level. So the question is how do I feel it at a reduced level, right? How do I make it so it's just a little blip, not a major problem with the business? And so there's the big one, and we're going to go through all of them, but the big one is just to list more. I mean, this is really honestly, if you were to leave from this episode or any episode we talk about, how do I increase sales? The best way to increase sales is to increase inventory, period, right? So there's a couple of reasons for that. I think one is that the newness of a new listing. So if it's brand new, it's going to get pushed up to the top because it's brand new and people get to see it. That's number one. Number two is the algorithm. The algorithm likes you to list. So if you list more, the algorithm says, oh, this person's growing their business, and they're growing their business. That means they're growing eBay business. And so they kind of tend to push more traffic to you. So I see that a lot. When I list items during the day, I see sales happen throughout that day. Now, it's not always this new stuff. Some of it's new because it's new exposure to new product, but some of it's exposure to old product as well. So, and by the way, it's not only exposure to, in my case, the collectibles that I sell, but it's also exposure to my clothing listings. So there are days that I see about 50-50 ratio of clothing sales to sales of postcards and other collectibles. So, you know, you need to list. And if you, the more you list, the more you sell. That's just it. So that's number one. That's the biggest one that you can do. And that's, you know, that's it. You just have more potential exposure to products because you have more products. Number two is promoted listings. Now, there is a lot of controversy around promoted listings. And I've said this before, I think, but I'll say it again. I was talking to my growth advisor from eBay. And if you don't know what that is, go back to a couple episodes. I talk about what a growth advisor is. But that growth advisor told me, listen, promoted listings, if you are above 1.5%, then you're going to get more exposure. They give you a suggestion about what the average person does, and that's great. Don't care about the average person. I personally don't care about the average person. The average person doesn't do 150 to 200 listings a day like I do, so I don't really care what the average person does. But, you know, it's still a data point. 1.5%. If it's below 1.5%, he said, don't even bother. Don't even bother putting out any kind of promoted listing if you're not going to do at least 1.5%. Now, you don't have to go to 10% or 5% or whatever. I'm at 4 right now. 4 seems to be a sweet spot for me. I'll revisit it, though, by tweaking because I want to spend less, obviously. But, you know, we're in kind of unique, well, not unique times. It happens every year. But if you're in summer slowdown, maybe you pump that up to maybe 5%. And I haven't done that yet because my sales have slowed, definitely. But they're really not horrible. I mean, I'm making probably, let's say, may say 5% less than I did last month as far as sales. So that's not horrible. So what would be the impact of me moving everything to 5%? So I don't know. I'm still kind of playing with that. So anyway, that's number two. So number three is you want to encourage people to buy more than one product. And now the reason for that is obvious. If you send one shirt across country, it's going to cost you, let's say, $6, $5, whatever. If you send two to the same person across country, it's going to cost $7. So you get economies of scale when you're shipping, you know, as far as Costco. So there's more profit in that second item. I'm assuming that you, you know, everything's priced appropriately. So to do that, you could create a coupon. Now they have this new platform for couponing in eBay. So I'm not going to go through and tell you how to do that. I think you just need to go on eBay and search it out.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
but that will encourage people to buy more than one piece of clothing or collectible, whatever. So you want to do that. So I guess kind of associated with that is that you want to do a coupon that you could actually, and especially for like holidays, like Father's Day is this month, that you could actually do a 2-for-1 or 10% off or something to encourage them to do that. Now you could do either maybe free shipping if you're not doing free shipping already in clothing, you really need to. But if you want to do free shipping, if you order more than one, if you're doing something collectible, that's fine. You know, especially that more than one doesn't really cost much if you're sending a collectible because it's small, if you're doing the kind of collectibles that I do. So maybe free shipping might be if you order more than one. Any kind of discount, and you want to make sure that you get that discount kind of shown on the screen. So when you go up there, there's a little red thing. It says, you know, Father's Day, 10% off or whatever the sale is. But that's going to help tweak your sales. And it definitely has worked because I've had quite a few sales this month from a coupon that I have for 10% off. Now, I've had one person think it was $10 off, and they got mad because it wasn't $10 off of a $20 purchase, which is weird, right? Who would think that? But anyway, they ended up, you know, I talked them off the ledge and they ended up buying anyway, but it was pretty funny. But anyway, so 10% off or anything to get that little thing showing a sale has happened. Now also what you're really trying to do takes me to the fourth item is sending offers out. So as you know, when you send out offers, so when you, in the morning, when you get up or maybe throughout the day, you'll see it says you have the opportunity to send these offers because there was some interest in that. Now, I don't know if you know this, but that's time stamped. Essentially, they essentially, you got to do it right away or at least reasonably, soon after you receive them, because, what happens is if that, they do expire. And so you can't just like a month from now, just click on saying, I'm going to make this offer to this person that they looked at my item a month ago. No, you have to do it right away. Now that doesn't mean necessarily if it's, you get it at 2 a.m, you have to do it at 2 a.m. That's not what I'm saying, but you should do it when you get up in the next morning. So I do it every day. Now there are certain ways to do that. Some people go through them individually and actually say, and make per item offers. And if you have a lot of offers, I think that's very, very cumbersome. You know, I get probably, let's say between 75 to 100 opportunities to offer a day. And so I'm not going to be going in and doing those individually. It just takes too much time. So I do a percentage off. I basically just do 5% initially just to get the conversation rolling and then maybe just get offers. Now, whether I go even more than that, is to be seen. I think 5% is working for me right now, but you want to make those offers right away and all day long. So that's number 3/4, because it really all these discounts you're doing, all that stuff is really just to get somebody interested so you can make an offer and so they could take it. You know, someone will buy them just off the 10%. Some will need a little bit more cajoling to buy, but you want to have those opportunities. So if somebody just says they put it in their watch list, bam, that's an opportunity for you to go out and make an offer. So make those offers. That's number 4. Make those offers frequently. Now, I wouldn't give away the entire farm in that offer. I would start at 5%, and I do them all at the same time, or reasonably. Now, certain things I just want to liquidate, so I'll do those individually first, and then the rest of them I'll just do like 5% off, and then we'll get some activity out of that. So just do it. All right. Okay. Number 5, put something in. When you make a sale, put something in your package to get people to come back to your store. So you can give them a printable coupon as well. So now mind you, if they have a 10% off coupon, that they have, that's a kind of electronic coupon, and then they get a printed coupon, they don't stack. So it's gonna be one or the other. You can only put in one kind of coupon code, if you will. Don't need to worry about that too much, about having all of a sudden somebody comes in with a stack of coupons for 10% each, and then you end up giving something away for free if they save 10 of them. I mean, you know, I don't think it doesn't work that way. So they'll get one out of the, if you have 10 coupons, they get one of those 10 coupons. So that doesn't, if you have a coupon and you are offering maybe 50% off of the next purchase, for instance, they can't stack that. That's different. then, because that's a discount versus a coupon, right? So use to get to know the couponing part of eBay, because that's where kind of the market is going. Now, the nice thing is that you have the option when you're actually doing your shipping to print a coupon right away. Now, you can do that. That's kind of, but that's a waste of paper. What I would do is I would get a nice, card made, and I have some for me, and I just got some. I just got new ones, so I got to switch them out because I had a name change for my store. But, and you put that in there, and I would print that out because you could use the same coupon code really forever, really. I mean, you're setting up the coupon, just use the same coupon code and you're fine. So, but you could do that. You put it in the mailer that you're sending out. So you're sending out a shirt, and then in there is a saying, thank you for your order. And, you know, if you have any problems, you know, contact us before you leave feedback, yada, yada, yada. And by the way, here's 10% off your next purchase. And people will save those. Not everybody will save them. Some people will not save them and they'll just throw them away. That's fine. But, you know, a certain number of people will buy. Now, if you're in the clothing business, repeat customers are few and far between. Let's be honest. Unless you have some specific types of items, you know, that's different. If you're all Hawaiian shirts, for instance. But in the collectibles market, they definitely come back because they see kind of the breadth of stuff that you have. And if they collect the same type of stuff that you have or you collect, then of course they're going to come back. So the coupons work really, really well with the collectibles market. And that doesn't matter whether you're in sports cards or coins, right? It's really the same. You know, if people are collectors of coins, they want hundreds of coins. You don't need hundreds of shirts. You don't need hundreds of pairs of jeans. But you do want to hunt, you know, thousands, if not, well, probably not hundreds of thousands, but thousands of postcards or coins or baseball cards or whatever, all those things. So it's really, really helpful in the collectibles market. It's going to tweak your sales for clothing, but it's not going to be as dramatic. So as I've been selling collectibles, I sell multiples much more than I do for clothing. So clothing, I definitely do, but I consider that a treat if I get it out of my clothing lines, but in collectibles, it happens, you know, daily. 6, auctions. Now, if you have something that's sitting around for a while and it may be conducive to put it in an auction. Now, clothing, this doesn't work. I mean, it really doesn't. But in collectibles, it definitely works. So if you have some stuff that's been sitting around for a bit and you want to tweak your sales, take something that has some value to it, you know, and convert it to an auction, and that will help boost some of your sales. Okay. Okay, and the next one, you know, this one I'm hesitant to talk about because I think there's better ways. But the sixth one I'm going to talk about is basically cross listing. Now, I have some really, really love hate relationship with cross listing because cross listing requires you to basically really keep an eye on your store, and if you sell something, you just got to make sure it's delisted from every place, even if you have an application that does it for you. There are some exceptions. And by the way, even if you don't have to delist it yourself, it's automatic in the collectibles market, for instance. Sometimes that they have a token that eBay issues to the other marketplaces that automatically delists. And, you know, those sometimes don't work. So for instance, if you're selling on Bonanza and if you haven't renewed your token, then sometimes something will sell on Bonanza, but it won't delist it automatically from eBay. So that's unfortunate. Now it takes, I think 60 or 90 days. I can't remember when these tokens expire, but sometimes they just happen at the wrong time. So I have a habit of checking, each of these sites relatively frequently, because also you're not going to be notified if somebody wants to make an offer on something or if somebody's interested in something. So you kind of have to check them frequently anyway. So it's a love-hate relationship I have with cross-listing, even the automated ones. But again, it just gives you more eyes to on your products. So that's incredibly important, is that really, honestly, the more eyes in your product, the more sales you will make, generally speaking, assuming that you have good stuff. But even not so good stuff sometimes sells really. I'll be honest with you, I've sold some things on eBay that I just like, who the hell would want this? But they definitely do it. I mean, like for instance, I bought clothing lots and I find myself listing some t-shirts from like cruises, you know, and people buy them. And it's like, why? You didn't go on that cruise. Or maybe you did go on a cruise and you wanted to buy it. But the reality is the sell-through rates on those are really low, but yet sometimes they sell. So, you know, everything sells on eBay eventually. But anyway, you know, just avoid selling, crap and then you'll be okay. Okay. So those are six, whatever. So another thing I would like to say is that, you know, use this time and slow sales to actually gather more inventory and be more planful about your inventory. You know, we talked about in prior episodes that you need to buy things in different marketplaces or in different market segments that you sell because, you know, some things are going to slow down certain parts of the year and other things are not. So you want to make sure that you have an even inventory to be able to predict your sales. Now, this is something that a lot of people don't do. They just buy, they find something at a thrift store or at a garage sale and they just say, okay, well, this is cheap. I'm going to buy it. So, you know, it might sit around for a year. And if it's big, it's going to sit around and stare at you for a year because you don't have any place to put it. So the reality is though, if you're more planful, so right now I would be buying winter clothes, which is going to be super cheap in the thrift stores. It's going to be super cheap because, nobody's buying jackets. It's 100 degrees out. Nobody's buying jackets right now, but so they put them on sale because they need to get rid of them. And people are giving them away right now. They're donating them. And, you know, they don't just sit there. They try to move them. So they'll just try to move them very, very quickly. So you can get something that's normally at a thrift store, maybe $20 or $15. You probably get it for $5 now. So plan for that. And then, you know, I would list it now, even though nobody's going to buy it, but I would list it now because, you know, in 2 months that somebody's going to start looking at that stuff, right? So I move a lot of winter clothing during the winter, but I acquire a lot of the winter clothing during the summer. I do the same thing in the summer clothing. Although, you know, summer clothing is a little bit different in some cases because at least for men's clothing, you know, you wear jeans all year round, mostly, shorts. Yes. All right. But you know, in California, you can wear shorts in December. So it's a little bit different, I think, on the summer clothing, but certainly things like bathing suits and, buying used bathing suits is kind of gross anyway, but I look at it as like used underwear. Who'd want, you're not going to be selling that stuff, but certainly there's some new shorts and bathing suits and things like that. I mean, you're not going to be buying them now because that's when the thrift stores are going to be selling them. So, and for top dollar too, right? It's still, remember, people who go to thrift stores, forget people like us who go out and buy in bulk. You know, the average person goes to the thrift store and then they buy stuff that they're going to wear, right? So, you know, maybe that's changed a little bit in recent years because of the kind of the prevalence of news stories about thrifting and reselling, but they know they're going to move summer clothes now for top dollar. And so, I mean, even though top dollar is still going to be a lot less than retail. Okay. So, but you know, for winter clothes, nobody's buying a jacket, unless they're a thrifter like us, nobody's buying a jacket, at the thrift store right now. You know, they're not even on the racks in regular stores. So they have to be in the racks because they're not going to sit on them. Like I said, at a Goodwill, they want to move it. So, but they're going to move it cheap. And so now you should be looking at acquiring, right? And just, and listing it, definitely listing it. Now, if I were to prioritize the listings, I would say, listen, if I had a bunch of summer clothes, I'd be listing those too. And I'd be listing those first because you want to get rid of them now. But the winter clothes, if you have no inventory to list except for winter clothes, you should be listing the winter clothes right now. You know, definitely go out and buy summer clothes as well. But you should have bought those summer clothes, let's say in January, February of this year. You should, buying them now, you're paying top dollar for them. And even though you will sell more right now, the reality is that you're probably paying top dollar and so your profit margin's not going to be there. Okay. Also, what you need to start doing is looking at how am I going to improve my business? In other ways, right? How am I operationally going to improve my business? Right now, you're slower. So take the time. Don't just say, well, I'm going on vacation. Now, mind you, if you're going to go on vacation, probably now is the time to do it. You know, you don't want to shut down your store per se. You probably want to get somebody to help you so you don't have to shut down your store. But if you're going to shut down your store anytime during the year, this is probably it, right? Now, that might change if you're selling Christmas stuff. You know, you don't take off during Christmas, but if you're selling bathing suits and that's your whole business, then maybe taking off December is probably okay. But the reality is that you want to say, okay, well, I have extra time. Well, how am I going to use it to improve my business? Should I get a virtual assistant to kind of help me list more? Should I get a website going? You know, are there any tools that I could put in place that will help me manage my business, whether or not it's at accounting or listing or whatever? I mean, this now is the time to do that and time to investigate. What are other revenue sources that I could do? What are other markets that I could sell on? You know, just because, you know, let's say you're an Amazon seller too, and you know, you're not going to put your stuff on eBay and Amazon. You could, if you're using InkFrog, for instance, but, you know, you're not going to necessarily list the same stuff on both. But the reality is that, you know, look for areas to improve your business, marketplaces, operations, buying, you know, that kind of stuff. You just really want to take the time and make it useful, right? Even if you need to take it to wind down and, you know, take a vacation. So that's going to help your business when you come back to your business, because you'll be more invigorated and you're going to be much more in a position to improve your business once you get back. So definitely now is the time to do that. Now, what I do is when I go on vacation, I go on buying trips. So, you know, it's kind of a mixed thing. So I, you know, might go to an antique show or big antique malls in part during my vacation away. So at the end of the day, you just want to make sure that you're coming back to be much more energy focused on your business. So now is the time to do it. Okay. So that is it for today's show. Listen, I really, really appreciate the correspondence that I received from you. I've gotten quite a few people going to the website and subscribing to it. Now, I believe the subscription automatically sends you an update when I upload an episode. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. So I'm not doing anything with the website right now other than having it as a place for you to, you know, listen to the podcast and maybe have a few extra things on there. I will eventually be expanding the website to have other things and maybe bring on some other podcasters and put their stuff up too. I don't know yet, but it's not really a money-making venture for me, so I haven't really put a lot of effort or time into determining what I really ended up wanting it to be. But there are some sponsors on there, so please take a look at them. And if you could use them, great. Use the links that I provide, and that'd be great. I get a spiff for that. But at the end of the day, you know, if you don't want me to get a spiff, that's fine. Just go, you can go separately to them. I just want you to support them because they've supported me. So thank you for joining, and we will talk real soon. See you later. Bye.
This episode has ended, but your journey towards turning your reselling hobby into a business doesn't have to. Head on over to oldfashionedmike.com for more information and tips on running a successful reselling business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Until next time.